If you have a Bible today, would you turn with me over there to 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. And then also we're going to be touching on a scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. I want to speak on a subject, how love repairs you. How love repairs you. You know, my wife spoke this morning on a very important word that really has strength in people's lives. Either it could be a positive strength or a negative strength. But that word is fear, and it can steer you or it can destroy you. And I want to take time this morning and express to you how much of God's love will cast out fear. And that fear that you may have in your life does not have to be there. And we'll go through some scriptures this morning to explain to you exactly the depth of God's love in your life, but also how fear can cause you to be paralyzed and not being able to accomplish what you know you should accomplish. Let me put it to you like this before I read the scripture. You may be wanting to do something so deeply and so emotionally involved with that thought, but you just can't move because fear has got you gripped. It's got you cemented to the ground where you can't take a step. You can't even take a step backwards. You're just stuck. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Love is being perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. And let me read this other scripture to you in Isaiah 41 and 10. You don't have to go there unless you care to. The Bible declares this. It's in the midst of several verses of blessing that God is speaking to Israel, which also involves us as the grace dispensation that we are in. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How many would like to admit, you don't have to do it publicly, but like to admit in your heart there are times when all you would want to hear is a small, still voice in your mind, knowing it's God, or in your heart knowing it's God saying, I will help you. That's better than anybody else's help you'll ever get. Knowing that God will bring it to pass is a very comforting sense of security in anyone's life, especially as this time that we live in becomes more and more seasoned, and we see more and more things going on around us that we cannot embrace, we don't want to embrace, or we cannot stop from happening, even though we want to stop it from happening, because it's affecting not only ourselves, family, friends, businesses. It's affecting a nation. It's affecting a world. But we have to understand that there's a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, any of you who've been in church long enough realize that the one thing you always want to make sure is that you don't lose friends. But everybody today could stand if they would be honest and say they've lost friends in church. You know, we don't want to see anything end that's good. But everybody would be honest today, would say that all good things seem to come to an end.
And if you'll be honest too, today with yourself, and that includes me, all of us together. This is not a "this is about you" message. This is about all of us. There are times where fear shows up unwanted, uninvited, but shows up, takes over, and your whole day is ruined. There are times, if you'll be honest, that where you wake up in the morning and you wake up with a still small voice reminding you of the troubles that you have. The debt you may be in. The difficulty that the doctor just told you that you have and it cannot be healed. It may be terminal. There may be something in your life that just makes you so afraid. And as soon as you wake up in the morning, it's as though you're opening your eyes. You're opening your eyes to a world of fear that's been created just for you, it seems. And you can't move. Faith seems to be somewhere distant. Faith seems to be a distant cousin that you haven't heard from for years, and they probably won't call you because it's been that long. But fear has become a close relative that has moved in overnight. It's got a room in your heart, and it's controlling you. I want to tell you today that the Bible declares, "Fear not, for I'm with you." The Bible declares that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The Bible does tell us that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit and that the Lord has moved into us. You know, I'd like to tell you that God lives in boards and sheetrock and paint and rugs and all that. I'd like to tell you that, you know, he dwells here, and when we leave him here at a temple called Hope for the Bay. And he just says goodbye to us at the door. And says, "We'll see you when you get back." And we just kind of head out into an ice-cold world that's prejudiced and full of sin and doesn't care where you live or who you are. If as long as they can get over you, that's what they're going to do. You can apply for all the help that you can get, and it never comes. You can see one person getting blessed over here and the same person in the same condition is being overlooked. We live in an unfair world, and where all of a sudden God just doesn't push us out there and say, "There you go. See you when you come next Sunday. Hope you enjoyed dinner. Thank you." No, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wherever we go, God is with us. The Bible declares where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of them. The Bible even says where two agree as touching the same thing upon this earth, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. The Bible declares if we will abide in him, he will abide in us. That word "abide" is a word in the Greek that means that he will make his home in us. He'll move in. He's there. I can't tell you the reason psychologically in this message why fear can be so resident in your life. But I can tell you that it does not care if you are a pastor. It does not make a difference if you're the administrative bishop or you're the general overseer of the churches of God, international. Fear just says, "I'm here. Here's the key." If I don't say anything more today, if we don't get any further than this part of the message, here's the key. You can say you're not welcome. My God has it all under control. He's not going to leave me alone. He's not going to push me aside. He's not going to let this happen in his life, because I'm a child of the King. I've been adopted into the family of God. According to Romans in chapter 8, I have been adopted into the family of God, not by the spirit of fear, but by the spirit of adoption. Amen. And I'm able then to come before God and cry out to God in a very familiar sense, "Abba, Father." The Bible declares that whatever I ask in Jesus' name, the Father will do it.
The Bible declares that there is a Paracletos, a Holy Ghost, a Holy Spirit that walks along our side and shows us things going to come and testifies of truth. The Bible has all these promises in our life, but fear seems to walk in and blanket everything we know and begin to control us. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe he's preaching at you today. Love has a great effect, though, on our future. When you give your heart to Jesus and the mutual abiding between God and you becomes so strong that God then is allowed to show his full expression in your life. It's a sad note to me, and I don't want to stay on any sad thought today. But with this close union of God that we have and all the beauty that God shows us in our life and the healings that he's given us, the provisions that he's given us, the depth of grace and riches that he has provided for us, all those wonderful accolades and all the wonderful processes that happens in the kingdom of God when you walk with God get shattered, not so much by fear, but our lack of love that we have one for another. It's the truth. What we do is we forget to love one another. The Bible declares you will know that they are my disciples on how they love one another. We choose who we love. We choose to love people who will not love us back, but what they will do for us. If someone doesn't like the way we look, we don't love them any longer. See, we use God's love as almost as a punishment. We'll love you if. That's not at all what the Bible says. We are to love one another. No matter what. I want to say something to you that's not going to be a surprise to many of you, but maybe to some. Guess what? You're going to live with me in glory. So you need to learn to love me here. Because I love you, because when we're up there, it's going to be all about love. I can't apologize today for the many people I've seen in the kingdom of God in my 33 and a half years of serving in ministry, of how they've treated one another. The literal ugliness that they've shown towards one another. The gossip and the hateful, excuse the terminology, but it's true. Things that they would say towards one another or behind each other's back. You know, it's just an amazing thing to me that we have failed in this one little area in our life, and that is to simply love. To really love each other. You know, children are really unique if you watch them. They can get pretty strong with one another, but they always love one another. They really do. They always care for one another. They always seem to reach out for one another. You know, I remember a story that I think I've told you here. I know I have, as a matter of fact, of the Special Olympics and the boys and the girls running that 50-yard dash in the Special Olympics. And the Down syndrome children were there to run that race that day. And they started off and they were all running to win. But one of them fell. They weren't winning. They weren't ahead. Unlike us, they stopped. All of them. Turned and saw the fallen teammate, the fallen competitor, and they all turned and went back and picked up the Down syndrome competitor. And instead of saying, are you okay, and brushing off and starting to run ahead, they all joined hands and ran over the finish line together. God, allow us to have that love in the house of God. Allow us to realize that sometimes we have emotions going on in our life, which is the greatest of emotions, is fear, that make us respond inaccurately of how we should respond towards situations and others. Help us to understand someone that's going through a time of fear in their life. We're all in this category. We're all in a category to where all of a sudden something happens, a bill comes, and you don't have that kind of money to pay. Do you understand me? Please try to if you can. That you know life can change just like that.
why we need to stick close to God. At any time, life can just change. We can just all of a sudden take a left when we wanted to take a right. We can hit a wall when it looked like we had a clear path. The mountain that's set aside us seems to grow as we try to go over. And we even quote scriptures against it and we say all this stuff. But fear has gripped us and has paralyzed us and it's keeping us from moving forward. I'm going to take you to a small group of scriptures right now that will help you to understand something, just who we are in Him and how we're supposed to be and what we have in Him. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 to 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Sometimes I think we live in more shame than we do confidence. We're ashamed of our actions, but we don't know how to repent of them because fear has gripped us. We don't know how to approach a friend because we're afraid we may be judged, criticized, made to feel less than. Instead of how we're supposed to be accepted, and that is, come here, let me hug you. Let me pray with you. Let me help you in your time of struggle, in your time of trial. Let me take you from this point you're at now and help you to get over the finish line along with me right now. And not with any other reason, but just to be a person that loves their brother and their sister. The caring for one another and how we should possibly be. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Would you do me a favor and look at your neighbor and say, yeah, this message is for you, but it's also for me. And would you look at him one more time and say, do you know what? You are a child of God. And say this last thing, would you? Every promise in the Bible is for you and I. So let's not fear. Let's be courageous today. Let's be as what we should be in the book of Hebrews, where it says, let us boldly, Hebrews chapter 4, let us boldly enter into the throne room of grace, whereby we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Oh, I've heard people preaching years ago that, you know, we're just a bunch of worms. I don't know where they get these messages. I think they just haven't prayed. Or they're ornery enough to call a bunch of people worms. In other words, come on now, we're all a bunch of worms and dogs. Let's bark our way up to the altar and crawl and up there before God and, you know, just don't look up and keep your head bowed. Let me tell you something, my friend. When this preacher gets with God, I just walk into that room. They know I'm coming. I know they know I'm coming. Because I just burst into that room of grace and say, I'm here and I want some attention. Yes. I'm going through something right now and I can't defeat it. It won't let me alone. God, where are you? The Bible says. And I start quoting scriptures. You would say, preacher, well, you know scriptures, you memorize them. I didn't say I quoted memorized scriptures. I got a Bible in my hand. I'm reading those scriptures. There's no paraphrasing now. I want to make sure they're exactly what the Bible says, so God knows that I know exactly what I'm talking about. Fear is horrible. You know, people don't like to hear this like that, that fear is that strong, because they don't want other people to know that they are that crippled by fear. I'm not a tattletale here. I'm just trying to tell you the facts that there are people most likely sitting in this sanctuary and sanctuaries across this nation that they are afraid of being afraid. Because they know how badly fear destroys them emotionally. And yet the Bible declares that we have a way to get around this, and that is by literally believing in who He is and trusting in Him and trusting in His promises and trusting in His Word and applying that Word to our life. Now, I want you to know something. There are times sometimes where you get a sore on your hand or you get a headache or something to that effect, something minor. And you get some salve and you put it on there. Well, you know as well as I do, if that salve took it away immediately, you'd be trying to bottle that salve and sell it at the door of the church. Or you took that medication for a headache, whether it be a slight little headache or a major migraine where all the lights have to be off in the room. Nothing can open or close around you. And you take the medication for that, and you know that that medication is going to take some time. Friend, let me tell you, when you start to go through something in fear, you start to apply God's word. Believe me, it's going to take some time, not for God to respond, but for you to really receive it and apply it. Doesn't matter how big or small the fear is. It can be a tiny dot on the wall. Like right there. Right there, that little tiny dot right there. In this big brown wall, my eyes went to that little dot all worship. And I was reminded about how the Holy Spirit said to me during that time, that's how it is with people. My blessings are so big. What I have for people is beyond their capacity of taking it all in. But all they see is that small little fear. They don't see what surrounds that fear is me to overtake it.
Right.
You see, oftentimes we just want to consecrate ourselves. I said consecrate on purpose. We want to consecrate ourselves in the spirit of fear. Fear is not good. It is terrible. It paralyzes. It keeps you from moving forward. It won't allow you to fulfill your destiny. It'll make you just totally stop. I'll tell you a story, real quick story. When I was outside the kingdom of God, living in the world, and we were hitchhiking across the United States in 1971. And it wasn't winter yet. We were coming back from the Gold Coast, actually. We were coming back from Chipley, Florida. We were hitchhiking back across, and we decided to go through the South and go through Texas. Now, I want you to understand that Texas is no small state. It really is big. And you'll never know how big it is till you try to hitchhike across it in the early 70s with long hair. And you're a guy. And in the South, and in the South of Texas, that meant something when you had long hair and you were hitchhiking. My friend and I, by then my friend's name was Jeff Winters. We were there hitchhiking. We stood in one spot for 24 hours trying to hitchhike across Texas to get into Southern California and then go up the coast on one to Santa Cruz. We were standing there, it got nighttime. Let me tell you, do you understand how cold it gets in Texas? And so we get up that morning, and we've been there for almost a full 24 hours. At around 10:30 that morning, it would have been 24 hours. And we started hitchhiking again, and vroom, vroom, vroom. I said, maybe I'll step out in the middle of the road, Jeff, and they'll stop because they almost hit me. So I stepped out and vroom, vroom, and I went, they're not stopping, I'm getting back. So I pulled back and we stopped there. Then all of a sudden across the street or across the highway, we see, which was always there, another freeway heading north. And I looked at Jeff and he looked at me and maybe we should go north. Maybe we're not supposed to hitchhike west. We walked across the street. One truck came by. The next car came by. We stuck our thumb out, and they pulled over and picked us up. And we went north till we got the right road 80 to go west. I'm here to tell you today, the moral of that story is you may be stuck somewhere. And you don't know why you're stuck there. You're not moving. No one's helping. Head north. Head north. Do you understand that the Bible declares that God dwells in the north? Amen. Head north till you come to a place to where the Lord then will help you, and you stick out your thumb, and then you're there on course again. Some of us get stuck in one spot thinking we're doing the right thing. If you're not moving, you're not doing. Head north. Fear will keep us in a place we do not want to be. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know that when He is revealed. We shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. We don't have to have fear. Fear literally tells you in your mind that you deserve judgment. Along with fear comes a word that is very strong in the English language, and it's torment. And oftentimes when we're in fear, we are tormented by that fear. The what-if syndrome, and how can this ever be, and how am I going to take care of this, and oh my gosh, have I done too much, and where else am I going to go, and oh, I can't make this payment, and are they going to take this from me? And we start just having this go over and over in our mind, and we somewhere along in our walk that day, we have forgotten that God is able. The battle, the Bible says, belongs to the Lord. You say, Pastor, what if I've made a mistake? And what if I've done something and I knew I was doing it? You think God's going to help me? By all means, He's going to help you. I don't believe in preaching about a God that's going to smack you around because you made a mistake. I've heard people preach about that God of hate and anger and wrath that is going to just destroy you. I don't know that God. All I know is God came along and found a hippie boy, decided to call him to preach, and He didn't smack me around to get me to go there. He invited me into the kingdom of God, knowing that somewhere down the line, I'd trip and mess up or say something wrong or get fearful and not know what to do, or maybe make a wrong decision or treat somebody not the best that they should be treated. But He still has never left me nor forsaken me, and He still delivers me even in my ignorance, even in my fears, even in my doubts. God walks in and says, here I am. This is my battle, not yours. Hallelujah. So throw this other definement, description that people have. Let me say it like this. I just felt the Holy Spirit quicken me to say this. You're in a hospital room. You're not doing well. Everybody's kind of looking at you like there's no hope. And the doctor walks in and says, you're sick. You're not doing well. There's no hope. I guess you shouldn't have done those things in your life and turned around and walked away. Now, if you think that's a good doctor, you need to get out the doctor description book. A good doctor walks in, says, I'm here because I've read your chart and I know that there's a sickness that you have right now. But I know that we can repair this. I know that there's hope. I know that somehow, some way, we're going to get you through this time. No matter how everybody else is looking at you. No matter of all the cards and the flowers that you're going to get. No matter if the funeral home director's been by with the measuring tape. It doesn't matter. I am going to make sure with all that I have and every bit of medical knowledge that I have, we are going to cure this disease. and you're going to walk out of here healed and full of the love that you need, and you're going to say to everybody that looked at you, see what Dr. So-and-so did. Let me tell you something, my friend. When Jesus comes into your life, he comes in like that doctor I just described, and you can get out of that room of despair and fear and say, look what Dr. Jesus did for me. Amen. He healed me. He took care of my difficulties. I'm okay. He went in and fought the battle. And look at me now. I have received the spoils of his love. Amen.
Yes. Fear is not love. Love casts out all fear. Let me say this to you. If you're saved today, and you can be by the end of the service, or even now if you run up here, or even where you sit, if you want to say it quietly, you don't need me involved. You don't have to be afraid of judgment. I'm not afraid of standing before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ.
I'm like Nehemiah in this way. All I want God to do is remember the good things I've done. Because I got a list of some messes, friend. I got some looks I've given people that I'd like to take back. I've got some words I'd like to withdraw back into my speech and bury them somewhere. I've got some decisions that I wish I wouldn't have done. I have got some mistakes that I've made. But I know that he's able to look beyond those weaknesses and those mistakes and still see the good that I have done. And I pray that God sees the good that you have done. And if you're here today saying, I knew that preacher was like that, oh, stop it. Love me, I love you. The only person who will ever let you down that's ever walked this earth is Jesus. The only one.
Right.
We're human. We're in the letdown business.
Right.
We're human. Yep. Jesus came in the form of man, but he was very much God also. And he suffered a death that you and I could be called the sons and daughters of God because we've confessed him as Savior.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Yep. Thank God for that. And let me just say a few more things to you, that the first time that fear was ever talked about in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3. And Adam is responding to God. He said, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Why was he afraid? Because he disobeyed. And all he knew was this God that created him and gave him this beautiful place to live. And I don't know about you, but I think it's a terrible excuse to go up to God and say, you know, I was talking to a snake today. And that snake just told me all the stuff that I should be doing. And you're trying to tell me that I shouldn't be doing these things because the snake said I was going to be like you. I don't think God's going to look and say, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Man, I want an appointment with the snake. Too many of us today in church make an appointment with the snake. And we want to hear what he says. We want to believe his lies. We want to believe his torments. We want to believe when he says no one cares. Let me tell you something, my friend. This church, this pastor cares about you. And when I act like I don't, he still does. Maybe I shouldn't be this honest. Maybe I should say that the reason you don't see me right now, I look a little taller today, is because I'm walking on air. I went down to the ocean the other day and I stepped out on the wave and there was no surfboard and I just kind of walked all over the bay. I'm not a water walker, I'm a water sinker. I was in a revival one time and I said, God, I'm going to have enough faith. I'm walking right off this platform. I walked right off this platform and bam, I hit the ground. Let me tell you
something, my friend.
We are people saved and sanctified by a God who simply saw us and said, I care. The devil said, I'm coming along their side and I'm going to put so much fear. That's how he attacked Job. He got him by disease. He took his family. His wife came after him. And Job said, no matter what, I'm going to see him standing at the last day. His friends came by and tried to remind him of his fears so he could know why he was in his condition. How many's got friends like that? You know, the reason you're like this is because you did this. I think they ought to make some churches and rename them like Job's Friends Church. Come and find out about your life. Wait a minute, I've attended those churches. I'm trying to tell you right now, friend of mine, that do not fear. Walk out of here today with courage. Perfect love casts out all fear. Wake up that love in your heart. Wake up who Jesus Christ is in your life right now. Wake up and realize that you cannot coexist with fear and love. One of them is going to control you. I choose today to have God's love control me. Every one of us, from this pulpit to every throughout this sanctuary, and whoever's not here today, fear will attack you. It will grip you. Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what got Peter? Fear. Aren't you the one who was with you? He just saw Jesus get beat up. He just saw Jesus get pounced on, ridiculed, and everybody in the world gave up on him. Big, bold Peter. Big, old, gruffy fisherman. Big, bad talker. How many know folks like that? You know, he was an armchair heaven guy. He could tell you all about how Jesus was supposed to be. But all of a sudden, when the neighborhood said to him, aren't you Peter, the one that was with Jesus? I don't know him. A fear grabbed him. Fear grabbed him and made him say things that he did not want to say. How many is relating to this message today? That where you say things you don't want to say because you know inside you're reacting off a platform of fear instead of the platform of faith. Fear always wants to bring a revolving record in our mind that you deserve punishment. You deserve punishment. You deserve punishment. I'm here to tell you, you don't deserve punishment. Once you've been saved, you've got the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God in your life. The love of God has covered you. You have put on the righteousness of Christ. You have put on Christ every day you wake up. You're walking with the Lord every day. You do not deserve punishment anymore because you have been saved and delivered from an eternal hell. And invited and brought into a promise of an eternal heaven. Now I'm going to have to close. But I want to tell you this just really quickly. Isaiah 41 and 10, which I read to you, declares to you the promise of God. You have the promise of God. Secondly, what you have, if you have God's peace. Philippians in chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. You have God's peace. You can read these scriptures on your own. Isaiah 41 and 10, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. You have God's peace. And then you have God's provision. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my need. And you also have Genesis 22, 12 through 14. Abraham, stop. Don't slay Isaac. There's a ram in a thicket. Right over there. What I loved about Abraham is he wasn't afraid when it came down to this one. He was afraid of kings, but he knew better than to deny God. He sold his wife. He put her in there for, we don't want to be troubled here. You can have her, king. He was afraid. God revealed it to the king. Then he really got afraid. But God delivered him.
God said, I will bless those who bless you. Genesis 15. I will bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. He said, there is a ram in the thicket. I want to tell you today, I don't know who you are in this place. God's not opening up the gifts to me at this point, but I'm just trying to tell you this. There's a ram in the thicket for you. Stop living in fear. Stop worrying about your future, about this or that. God has your future in His hand. God has your ministry. God has your life. God has your children in His hand. If it's not true, I will tell you that we are not in the right place. But I'll tell you that we are in the right place. And that place is right in the pocket of God's hand where no man can pluck us out. We are God's people. We're just not a few of us. We're universal. We're worldwide. We belong to a family. We've got brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles. We got folks we've never met that belong to the family of God. We are serving the right God. We just have got to get this fear and throw it off and know that Jeremiah 29:11 is so true, that there is a future for you that's full of goodness and hope. Praise God. And no matter what man wants you to see down the road, a lesser paycheck, a no job situation, a child in deep trouble, someone heading for prison, someone's going to come and take your home. Let me tell you something. Look above that. And see the God who's leading you down the path you started on. He has not changed your path. He knew what was coming. He's just saying, can't you have the faith in me now that when you had when everything was good? I don't have time to preach it. I just ask you to do one thing. Today, take time. Just, I'm asking you to do something as your pastor. Take time and read 1 Samuel 17. There's a little boy by the name of David. He showed up looking for his brothers to bring him lunch because Jesse said, take him lunch. He found his brothers hiding. All of Israel's hiding. There was Goliath out there with the Philistines, and they were bragging how big Goliath was. David took the lunch, gave it to his brothers, went and saw the king. King says, you can't do this. He says, yes, I can. He said, how come you think you can? He says, well, when a bear came in and a lion came in and tried to take my lambs, I chased the bear and the lion down, took them out of their mouth, saved that lamb and brought it back home and killed the bear and the lion. I think I can take care of this Philistine. Put on my armor. Okay, I'll respect you. I'll put on your armor. I've not tried this armor. It doesn't fit. You can have it back. I'm going out there with the armor I've tried. Goliath says, you send me a dog, this ruddy little boy, to fight me? He didn't deny who he was. He didn't even want to give his identity. He just simply said, do you know who you're really dealing with? You're dealing with the God of the armies of Israel. And if you want to mess with him, let's get it on. He didn't run from Goliath. He ran towards Goliath. He took him down. And to add a little humor to the end, he took his sword, cut off his head, went back and got a home, taxes, and a wife. Praise God. Maybe if you just believe God, God will bring you a home, get your taxes paid, and maybe you'll get a wife or a mate. Amen. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's not a bathroom mirror or a windshield reminder on your windshield visor of a promise God made. It's real. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All of us have fear attack us. All of us get taken down by fear. But all of us need to get up and keep marching forward. If it comes at you again and it tackles you, stand up and march forward.
Don't allow it to paralyze you. Don't believe the devil's lies. Certainly, what you may be hearing may be true. But in God's heart and mind, He can deliver you from every situation and every circumstance. And He can bring it to pass in your life where if you'll just apply faith, fear will go away.
Somebody's looking at me saying, "Are you sure, preacher? As sure as I'm standing here, as sure as my feet is really touching ground, as sure as I know I'm a human being, and as sure as I need God every day of every moment of my life, as sure as I know God, I said to God before I come up here today, God, I can't preach without you. I can't speak without you. Please anoint me, God, because right now I don't feel real anointed. I said, I just need you to touch me, God, because I can't do anything without you." As sure as I'm saying that to you today, have enough boldness, have enough courage, have enough confidence, not maybe in yourself, but have it in a God who created you, saved you, sanctified you, and filled you with His Holy Ghost, and have that confidence to say, "I'm going to step forward. It may look like I'm going to step on air, but I know when I step out, I'm going to step on solid ground because God is going to create that ground for me." Amen. Amen. Let's pray together.